Good morning. It is an honor to be here with you this morning. I thank the three pastors who allow me to share this pulpit this morning. I've been with Missions Door for the last 23 years. Missions Door changed their name three times. Well, actually four times. When I joined Missions Door, it called Conservative Baptist Home Mission Society. Then they changed to Mission to the Americas. In 95, I took Mission to the Americas, to Cambodia, and they said, we need to change it again, so they add and beyond. Then finally they said, okay, Missions Door is more neutral. So my wife and I, we only have five kids and four grandkids. So this morning I want to share with you a life that we've been through, the communist regime. How many of you know where Cambodia is located? A lot of you. West of Vietnam, if you know Vietnam. Cambodia is one of those countries that under the French colonial for so many years, 90 years, as a matter of fact. In 1970, when the war broke out between the Khmer Republic and the Khmer Rouge, the U.S. came into Cambodia and trying to help the new regime. I remember that from 1970 to 72, every morning from 7 o'clock to 9 o'clock, the building of the school is shook every morning because of the B-52 bomber drop bombs in Cambodia. In 1973, when I was a young guy, I attending English class, a private school. The reason that in Cambodia, you know, they use French as a second language because of the French colonial for 90 years. And for me, because of my parents came from India, southern India, I was born and raised in Cambodia, so I like English instead of French. I don't like French. So I went to a private school, and then a good friend of mine came to me and asked me, do you want to go to another English class? And I said, is it free? Because I already paid for one. I don't want to pay for another one. So he said, yeah, it's free. Went to this class, and then I found out a few months later they teaching English through the book of Matthew. It's a church, so they offer English class. After I learn about Christ, and I really, you know, need God that can help me, so I became a Christian. Accept the Lord. Now, being a Christian in Cambodia, it's a no-no. In Cambodia, if you become, the Buddhism is a state religion. Okay, become a Christian, you betray your nationality, you betray your religion. Especially, Jesus is a French God. It's not a Cambodian God. And they hate French because French treat Cambodian like dirt. Then in the 70s, because of the U.S. bombed Cambodia, also Jesus is an American God. It's a no-no. When you become a Christian in Cambodia, you can be beat up by your spouse or your parents, or you'll be disowned. To make it worse, my family came from a Brahmin caste, and I'm the eldest son in the family. So my dad doesn't like Christian because of the British colonial. So either way, I lose. But I told my parent, I said, I just became a Christian. And he said, what do you mean you just became a Christian? Then at the time, now you have to remember that, you have to know this, my parents, they came from a wealthy family. They owned several businesses in Cambodia. I was my dad's bookkeeper and accountant at the time. So he said, okay, you can go to church once in a while. I think it's enough. But I go to church every Sunday. One Sunday after church, I saw people, you know, start going up to the rooftop of the building. And I asked my pastor, I said, what's going on? He said, well, this is the next step. After you become a Christian, you should be baptized. And I said, can I be baptized? He said, sure, if you believe Jesus is your Lord and Savior. I said, yes, with all my heart. So I went up to the rooftop without prepared anything. Don't have anything to change. So I went into the tub, get out, water drip all the way home. You know, walk home. Well, my dad saw me and he said, what's going on? You fall into a river? I said, no, this is, you know, my next step. I'm really a Christian now. He said, wrong, kick me out of the house. For almost 4 months, I've been praying that God would change my dad's heart so he can allow me to come back and stay at home. You know, in Cambodia, you know, when you don't have a home, you sleep in the back of the truck of somebody, and you don't have a mosquito net, mosquito is very happy. So finally, my dad allowed me to come back home, but he wouldn't give me back my job. I came home. A few months later, the country fell into the communist regime. On April 17, 1975, 9 o'clock in the morning, the Khmer Rouge soldier marched into the capital. We live in the capital of Cambodia, Phnom Penh, where the correct pronunciation is Phnom Penh. So we live there, and then the next day they evacuate everyone out, and they said, American going to bomb the city very soon, so we need to clear out so we can clean the city, and then you come back in 3 days. It was a lie. It was not a 3 days. Now, April is the hottest month of the year in Cambodia. Sometimes can reach 110 degrees with 100% humidity. Now, you see thousands and thousands of people fill the street everywhere, body alongside the road, and patient pushed out of the hospital onto the street. And then we went into south of Phnom Penh and stayed there for 2 months. With all this 2 months, I mean, during this time for 2 months, as soon as I got there, I got malaria. For 2 months, I have no food in my stomach. I can't walk because I was so weak. You know, every morning, I get chill. You know, my dad have to hold me down. And after that, it's fever. And then all I can take is water. At the end of the 2 months, the Khmer Rouge began to screen people out by telling us that the former king going to return to Cambodia. If you are former professor, military personnel, former government official, register so you can go and welcome the king home. It was a lie also, because everyone that registered never returned to their family. They all executed. So the second step, they ship everybody from the capital city to the northwest part of Cambodia to be farming. And they came, and they came to our family, and they said, you can go, but if you have any sick people, just leave them behind, and we'll take care of them. I know that if I'm going to stay behind, I never knew, you know, what's going to happen to my family. So I prayed almost all night. I said, Lord, just give me enough strength to get up and walk into this big boat. And the next morning, he did. Gave me enough strength to get up by myself. Nobody helped me walk into this big boat. It sails about 3-4 hours up north. We came to a small town, a small province. Since they already emptied the province, so they told us to grab a house, stay overnight. And the next morning, they put us on a truck on highway. And before they put everyone on the truck, they go through their belongings to search, you know, if they connected with the former regime. And I could see my dad walk toward me, and he said, son, do you have your Bible with you by any chance? And I always do something stupid like that, you know, because I love book, you know, and make it worse, I have English dictionary, I have my hymn book and everything. I said, yes, dad. And I can see my dad's face is turning white, it's like no blood running through his vein. He said, you're going to kill the family, son. Without saying anything, I went behind a bush and I prayed. I said, Lord, you know that I love you and protect me and my family. When our families turned, they opened everything except my suitcase. They didn't open it. They just grabbed and tossed it over into the truck. So for another 3-4 hours, we've been in this truck standing, you know, really tight. In Cambodian term, we say like a banana in a can. But for you, I think that you say like sardine in a can. So we're trying to make space for people to sit down, especially old people and pregnant women. You know, when people die on the truck never stopped. The young soldier came on the truck, grabbed the body, tossed it over the highway, to the side of the highway, and keep going. We came to another town, stayed there overnight. The next morning, they load everyone on the train. And the train keep going to the mountain area, and then slow down and stop. Then we began to see young soldiers between 14 and 16 year old with the AK-47 surrounding the train and force everyone off. Then they said, you have 3 days to build your home. Now you're talking to the people from the capital city, right? We know how to buy a home or rent a home. Building a home, know nothing about it. So now we got 3 days. So I cut down some trees and put some tarp over it. And after the 3 days, the Khmer Rouge began to screen out people, separate brother from sister, husband from wife, children from parent. You are not allowed to go to opposite sex camp. It's illegal. You might be killed. And your workload, you know, it's hard to describe. During that almost 4 years, I worked 21 hours a day in the rice field and 3 hours of sleep, 2 cooked spoons of rice a day with a little bit of salt. Once a year, they might give you 4 oranges as a dessert or 1 spoon of palm sugar, a sugar palm, either way. And during that entire time, you know, I'm a city boy. I know how to work in the office. I know nothing about farming, so now I have to transplant rice. To me, rice and grass look the same. You know, when I go into it, nobody tell you because they expect you to know. But if you do something wrong, you're going to be killed. So I have to learn, watch by other people. One time, you know, the Lord, through the entire time, the Lord is always there for me. One time that they gave me some water buffalo to plow the ground. When I walk into this field to grab the water buffalo, I don't know which one has belonged to me. They're all black, look alike. And their horn is huge. You know, I don't want them to knock me out. But somehow, you know, they are tame and let me catch them and plow. I know nothing about plowing, but God just began to teach me. Another time that they want me to drive an ox cart. Same thing. I know nothing about driving an ox cart. With oxen, you know, they said, hey, comrade, grab this and go get that. When I get on that ox cart, I say, Lord, I know nothing about driving this. So how do I do it? I just close my eye and hold the rope, and then somehow the ox just keep moving. And when it's come to the point, it just stopped by itself. And then I began to ask people that are really close, you know, I said, how do you control this thing? And he said, well, if you want to stop, you pull both rope back. And if you want to turn left, you pull the left rope and then hit the one on the right. And you do the same as the other one. I said, okay. But during that time, I was so tired, working 21 hours a day, sleep in the rice field. All I own is a pair of clothes on my back, and it's wet all the time because I work in the rice field. And I sleep on the dirt floor, ground in the rice field. I was so tired, and I said, I can't take this. Then I heard that my dad died, so I asked the leader a permission to go to visit my family. And they said, no, we need people to work here. At that time, I have a gold watch, Swiss-made gold watch. And I said, I gave you this. Please give me 3 days pass. Now, Khmer Rouge know nothing about Swiss-made watch. All they know is Japanese-made. The brand is called Orient. So I tried to explain that. I said, this is 18-karat gold. Finally, he took it, so he gave me 3 days pass. It took me almost 1 day to go back to my village from where I worked. When I get into the village was very quiet. It used to be like 2,000 families there. Now it's like a ghost village. I recognized the hut that belonged to my family. I just stood in front of it. Then I saw this little girl crawl out, and she began to pull my pants, and she said, brother. I couldn't recognize my younger sister. She used to be bigger and taller than me, and now she's like a little monkey, couldn't walk. And my mom heard that I was in town. She just ran across the rice field and stood in front of me for a minute. She couldn't say anything. Then she said, "Where's your dad?" Because she knew that, you know, my dad passed away. And then I stayed there. I found out that two of my other brother and sister also died. During the lunchtime, I still remember, I'm the oldest in the family. I always share everything with my sibling, including food. So my number five brother, he's a very smart boy. He can speak fluent English, you know. And during the lunch, I was eating. All you have is, you know, mostly water anyway, porridge. Water, just one spoon of cooked rice. He stood behind me and he was hoping that I'm going to turn around and share my ration with him. But I was hungry too. I don't want to turn around and give him. Then I came back, you know, and I was so angry at God when that brother was beaten to death by the Khmer Rouge because he was so sick he couldn't go to work. I lost six brothers and sisters during that time. My whole family, I lost 13 members of my family during the 4 years of the Khmer Rouge control. I was so angry at God. I said, you know, why this is happening to me? You know, I love you and I even disobey my parents. And look, you know, what you allow this happen to me. Then the book of Corinthians 14:33 came to my mind. It said, "For God is not a God of disorder, but of peace." God kind of remind me. In the Cambodian Bible, it says, "Our God is not a God of war, but of peace." So it's kind of helped reminding me, you know, God is good. You know, he's there. But then after a long hour of work, little to eat, you know, at some point, some of my friends dying around me, some of them commit suicide because they can't take it anymore, I began to have an idea of doing the same. You know, because I want to end it, and it's done. You know, no more suffering. On one night, I slept on that dirt ground. I said, "Lord, if you're not going to take me home, I'm going to try to help you." I start singing a song, "This World Is Not My Home." How many of you have heard that song before? In English. Then when I finished the song, you know, another scripture came to my mind in Matthew 11, 28, 30. It said, "Come to me." It's not, you know, it's just bits and pieces. It said, "Come to me, all you are weary and burdened. Come to me, I will give you rest. My yoke, it's light and easy," you know. And I said, "Lord, if you help me, I really want that light yield because I'm too tired of living." So many people, so many of us, you know, think that commit suicide is the answer of everything in our life. And our life is a solution to all the problem. But we forgot that we cause more problem because we're hurting our loved one for the rest of their lives. We forgot that as a Christian, we have a great God, the creator of all things, that God, the God that we can depend on. At that moment, I wasn't thinking. I think that end my life is the solution. No more suffering. Because I'm so tired. You work 21 hours a day in the water. I was so skinny when I walk on the dike. When the wind blow, I almost blow with the wind. You know, when I get into the rice field, sometimes I stuck in the mud. I couldn't pull my leg up because I was so weak. I was so weak. When I came to the U.S., I was 100 pounds. After a year and a half in Thailand, in refugee camp. But then, you know, I talked to God. I said, "I can't take this anymore." But then at the same time, I was thinking about, you know, committing suicide. I heard a voice whispering in my ear said, "I have a plan for your life." Right away, the Khmer Rouge came. But before they came, I said, Lord, if you have a plan for my life, you should help me now. Because if you speak another language, you are an educator. And your name is on the list to be eliminated. The Khmer Rouge killed everybody that educate intellectual. So when they come, you know, the young soldier came and said, comrade, what language are you singing? I said, oh, it's not a language, just a word I throw together. They believe me, because they can't even read and write their own language, you know. In 1977, they begin to see that people die. So they want to have more children. They can train them to be a better communist. The way they train children to be a better communist is to spy on their own parent. And they teach children to kill their parent. When they executed their parent, they said, I'm not killing my parent. I'm killing the enemy of the revolution. That's how they brainwashed them. So they came to me and they said, comrade, we want you to get married. And I said, no, I don't want to get married. Who want to get married? 2 spoons of rice a day, 21 hours to work, you know? And I just learned too. My wife said the same thing because when they forced her to marry me, you know? But then I said, no, I don't want to get married. And they said, well, it's not a request. It is an order for you to get married. So this time I went to the Lord and I prayed. I said, Lord, you know that if I married a non-Christian, I wouldn't be a Christian any longer. And I kind of put this in. I said, by the way, I lost 13 members of my family. You should help me. I made the wrong choice. I mean the wrong word. On the wedding day, the first lady walked in. She saw me. She just screamed, ran away. The second one, she said, no, I want to marry somebody else, not this dark-skinned guy. And then the third one was forced by another leader to marry somebody else. The fourth time, on the wedding day, we were waiting and waiting. This lady never showed up. And then I learned that she learned she's going to marry me. She escaped to another village. And you talk about tough luck, you know. Making a deal with God, too. So April 17, 1978, they came to me and they said, comrade, this time if you don't get married, we're going to give you a piece of land, 1 meter by 2 meter, which is my grave. So this time I went back to the Lord and said, Lord, this time you keep her there because my life depends on it. Always tell God what to do, you know. On the wedding day, they march in 19 young men in a row, 19 young lady in a row. During the Khmer Rouge, when you go to work, you walk in line. You go to eat, you walk in line. You go to sleep, you walk in line. You can't go side by side because they said you're going shopping. You're not going to the market. You might get hit by the young soldier. So the same thing with the wedding, you stand in line. The head of the village came up like this and he said, this is your wife, this is your husband, now you're married, you go home. So we went home, my wife and I never talked to each other because we don't know each other background. We don't trust each other. Because during the Khmer Rouge, the husband can be killed because the wife just won 14 ounces of rice. By telling the soldier that my husband connected with the former regime or something, you know. So I wouldn't tell my wife my background. And also being a Christian, the Khmer Rouge put your name is on top of the list because you work for CIA. I found that out when I came to Seattle. There's a CIA called Christian in Action. But that's not what they meant. They separated us for a while, for a month or so. And I was so sick, I asked them if I just come home for one day. And they said, well, you know the rule, no work, no food. Because you don't work, you don't earn food. So I told myself, I said, I'm too sick to eat anyway. So I told them, I said, that's fine. So I went home in a small hut. I slept through the morning. Early afternoon, my wife just happened to walk by. She saw me inside the hut, and she knew that I have nothing to eat. So with her, she has a rice husk cake. Now, during this time, you're not allowed to have any extra food. If you get caught having extra food, your workload will be double and your food for that day would take away. So she hide that rice dusk cake. Rice dusk, we only feed chicken, ducks, and pigs. And now people will eat almost anything we try. Grass, lizard, field rats, snakes, they all taste like chicken. Yeah. I saw that rice dust cake and I just jump on my feet and I accidentally say, thank the Lord. Cambodian, we don't say praise the Lord, we say thank the Lord. Akun praang. She looked at me right away and she said, are you a Christian? I was shaken. Because being a Christian is a no-no for another person to know. You know? Then I heard the voice again said, you tell her. So I come close to her quietly. I set her down. And I said, I'm going to tell you this, but please don't tell anyone else. Yes, I'm a Christian. And I can see tears begin to roll down on her cheek. And she said, that's okay because I'm also a Christian. You know, she's not just a Christian, but she's the third generation of Christian. And I found out that her father is one of the three that translate the first Cambodian Bible. He was the first staff of the International Bible Society back in 54. Her grandfather is one of the first became Christian in Cambodia. Then after we knew that God has this plan for us to be together, I learned that we can depend on God. When the communist control collapsed, the Vietnamese invaded Cambodia, God wanted me to leave the country. At that time, my wife was 7 months pregnant. That was in 1979. We ran through the jungle at nighttime because daytime we might get captured by the Khmer Rouge in the jungle or the Vietnamese shoot at us. A walk at night is not fun between the border, Cambodia and Thailand, in the jungle either, because you might get robbed by the Thai bandit. You might get fall into a trap, bamboo stick in the ground, or step on landmine. One evening we slept on the ground. On the path, and then in the next morning we woke up. My wife didn't turn, over because she didn't know. She didn't turn it, but I saw it first. There's a landmine next to her body, so I grabbed her. I said, "Don't move." But God continued to protect us. Christ never changed. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Some people might have an excuse that, oh, miracle only happened in the old days. But no, Jesus still do miracle today. Now, in the village of several thousand people, five different times that they're trying to match me up, but one is a Christian that he put me together. Can you say that's not a miracle? In the book of Hebrews 13:8, it said, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. He is still the same yesterday, today, and forever. He has not only had the power over death, but he is in full control of everything. He can turn around the bad thing into good thing. Because of that, I returned to Cambodia when the country under another communist regime. Working with the underground church for 4 years before they open up and recognize the church in Cambodia. Jesus has promised that if we come to him, he never let us walk alone. He will be with us at all time, and he is there whenever we need him. He never tired nor sleep. He is watching over us. I don't know about you, but for me, Christ is my rock, my protector, and the best of all, he's my Savior. He's the Father and the best friend. He has an unconditional love to all of his children. He never let them walk alone. In the book of Deuteronomy 31:6 said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. Then Jesus reaffirmed again by saying in Matthew 28:20, he said, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. My wife and I, we have made a promise to God that the rest of our life, we will serve him. We've been in ministry for the last 40-some years, with Missions Door for the last 23 years, training leaders and produce material to help them. For us, we have a God that we can trust and depend on. So what is your excuse of walking with Jesus, and what is your commitment to him today? If you want to know more about our testimony, there's a book coming out called Intended for Evil by Les Sealers. They will ship in 2 weeks. You can pre-order on Amazon or anything. It's a lot of story that I cannot tell in 30, 40 minutes. But there's a lot more detail than what God have done in our life that causes us to serve him and cannot betray his love and his trust. And I challenge you, do the same, because our God is the same God yesterday, today, and forever. It never changed. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the opportunity that we can be here and worship you this morning, Lord. I pray that you will continue to use our life to glorify your name among those who have not known you yet. Father, continue to teach us, guide us, and lead us in our way walking with you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.